Hello and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. Today we're chatting with Ash Awad, Chief Market Officer with McKinstry. In this episode, we'll discuss McKinstry's decision to sign onto the Climate Pledge, how the firm intends to achieve net zero annual carbon emissions by no later than 2040, and much more.
Ash, welcome to the broadcast. Could you please start out by introducing yourself to those who are tuning in?
Well, great. Hey, Herb. I'm Ash Awad, and I'm with McKinstry. Been with McKinstry for 20 years. I'm a mechanical engineer by academic training and actually licensed in the state of Washington.
So you mentioned you've been with McKinstry for 20 years. You have 25 plus years in the industry as a whole. Tell us what it is about McKinstry that makes it such a great place to work, seeing that you've been there for two decades now.
Well, you know, I think that McKinstry has this special focus on people that I believe all companies talk about. And I think it's really quite special when you find a company that that connects with you as an individual, has a set of values that you believe in, and that you actually both relate to from a professional and a personal perspective. And when I think about McKinstry, you know, I always, from the day that I started to today, you know, have always felt that we watch over our people. I know I've had great mentoring and support from McKinstry. I've watched us do the same thing for many people. And then the value set, the things we stand for, I think are just fantastic, are the things that I've jokingly said that, you know, I'll be with McKinstry until I get fired for gross incompetence, which could happen any day. I'm very fond of the company, if that's not obvious.
Awesome. Now, the firm recently made headlines by signing on to the Climate Pledge. Can you inform those that are tuning in here what exactly the Climate Pledge is and why you guys are so proud to be a part of that?
Yeah, well, let's see. The Climate Pledge was actually started by Amazon and by an organization called Global Optimism. They came together and Amazon signed on to a climate pledge, really stating what they would do to reduce their carbon footprint specifically over the next 20 years. McKinstry signed on to the climate pledge so that we also made our commitment known, but also, and most importantly, what we really liked about the climate pledge is the idea that many other companies were coming together from all industries, all types of industries, to collaborate and think deeply about how are we going to tackle the climate crisis? How can we do it together? How can we do it by sharing the best ideas, the best thinking across multiple industries and not just siloed in a particular industry? Our industry in particular, the built environment, has about 40, sometimes as much as 50% contribution to the greenhouse gases that are really causing this climate crisis. And buildings are not in balance with the natural environment. And there are many, many non-residential, many, many residential buildings. And our industry, we all collectively have to pull together, not just within our industry, but outside our industry, to imagine the best, most innovative ideas. And so we signed on to the Climate Pledge for two reasons. One, to make our commitment known, particularly a slightly more aggressive commitment than the Climate Pledge called for, but also recognition that we need to collaborate not only within our industry, but outside of our industry.
Great. Now, through this effort, McKinstry has pledged to achieve net zero annual carbon emissions no later than 2040. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, you know, what we committed to, just to be clear, is within the Climate Pledge, there were a few tenets. One of them was that you had to actually be neutral by 2040. Our stated goal, both outside of McKinstry, within McKinstry, to the Climate Pledge, and anyone that will ask, is that we're going to reduce our carbon footprint by 50%. By 2025, and we're going to zero by 2030. You know, we deeply believe that we're in the midst of a climate crisis. And although we believe that a 20-year horizon is not wrong, we recognize that for us to do the work that we're doing for our clients, our end user clients, universities, schools, hospitals that are thinking deeply about how to decarbonize their own built environment, we thought that we needed to lead and that we needed to take a more aggressive stance. And so 50% by 2025 for us and 100% by 2030. Now, we're also going to make sure that we create two other very specific parts, prongs, if you will, of our program. I mentioned one, which is, you know, really deeply engaging with our clients to help them imagine how to transform their carbon footprint. That might actually relate to very different relationships with utilities. Utilities in the built environment have got to be in better balance so that we can create buildings that are better balanced with the natural environment. So there's a lot of that collaboration outside of McKinstry that we are poised and have the expertise to deliver upon. The third prong for us is that we actually need to continue to do more for the communities that we're in. We have to do more to empower our people to actually do more for themselves to decarbonize their lives. So we're making pretty significant investments out of McKinstry Charitable to organizations that we think are really leading the way, like Climate Solutions is leading the way. And so we made a pretty significant commitment to them, a charitable contribution to allow them to keep working their policy stuff. And now we're also thinking about what can we do for our own people, not only giving them time to volunteer, but is there some innovative program that we can come up with that allows our people to be more aggressive about how they decarbonize their own lives? And so work's in progress, but we're doing more than just decarbonizing our operations and our fleet. We're trying to kind of create this broader, more interesting tapestry of how we're taking on the climate crisis.
As a 50% cut by 2025 and 100% cut by 2030, you do realize that's 5 and 10 years away, right? That's pretty ambitious and exciting.
It is. And, you know, I must admit that I don't know if we know all the ways we're going to do it. I don't want you to imagine that today we have all the answers. I think what we have is we did our own accounting. We did our accounting using standard practices in terms of where our greenhouse gas footprint or emissions footprint is. We know where the biggest challenges lie for McKinstry's operations. We generally know what we need to do year to year, but I think what's important is the commitment is a way to create accountability, even if there's unknown. I think the challenge is that if we wait so long, any of us, any entity, wait so long for certainty, we need to wait until we absolutely know exactly how we're going to do it, I think it's too late. So we got to get a little bolder. We got to push ourselves harder. We can do this. But I think if we're going to stand in the wings and wait until somebody else solves it, then in many ways we determined at McKinstry that if we waited, we would become part of the problem, not part of the solution, excuse the term. But that's actually, you're right, it's aggressive. It's aggressive. And I wish I could tell you, I think this is exactly how we're going to do it, but I'm very comfortable that we're going to do it. I just can't tell you exactly how we're going to do it, but we're going to work really hard to exceed those expectations.
Great. Well, McKinstry is certainly well-versed in net zero energy buildings. One such example is the Catalyst facility, which recently opened in Spokane. Can you get us up to date with what went on with that project, please?
Yeah, that's a really fun project to talk about. McKinstry is not normally a real estate developer. You know, McKinstry is known as a design builder of mechanical, electrical systems, energy efficiency, renewables, sustainability. Sometimes when people meet me and I tell them I work at McKinstry, they say, "Oh, I see you trucks on the road. You guys are the McKinstry with the blue dot," and those trucks are out servicing thousands of buildings, keeping them operationally sound. So sometimes when I tell people, "Yeah, you know, we developed this building as a real estate developer or a facility developer, building developer," they're surprised by that. But let me just tell you very quickly, we're not a normal developer when we do these things. We try to find projects like this one, this Catalyst in this South University District area, where we're doing something that's good for the community. We're making a building that I'm going to tell you about here in a moment that could be stand out, that could become an exemplar for what others can do. We think about not just good for the community, but good for the economy in the area. In this case, Eastern Washington University is going to be moving in their computer science, their electrical engineering, the visual communication design programs into the Catalyst building. Right next to them is going to be a building called the Morris Energy Innovation Center that's actually going to be doing some deep research around the future of the energy value chain, how energy moves from the grid to the building, and how we can actually create different interactions between grid and building, as well as other energy-related topics. And so if you kind of think of what we've done there, we've done something that's good for the community. We're building something that enhances the education, that actually creates opportunities for these students to kind of interact with industry. And now let me tell you about Catalyst. You know, Catalyst is a 160,000 square foot building. It is in Spokane. It's in what is sometimes referred to as the South University District. And the building itself is a cross-laminated timber wood building, just to be clear. 160,000 square foot, one of the largest in the country. Now, we did this building and we targeted and are in the process right now of getting it certified as zero energy and zero carbon. So I want to just tell you a couple of things. By the way, 2-3 weeks ago, we had a virtual opening of the building. Unfortunate during these times, but we have completed the building and tenants are moving into the building. So we're very proud of what we've accomplished there. So this is not a concept. The building itself is, you know, it's got what you might imagine a highly efficient building to have, you know, the right kind of efficient lighting, chilled beam systems, full outside air, by the way, DOAS systems that are highly efficient, renewables on the rooftop. But we also created a very unique shared energy system that actually moves energy, both thermal and electric, so that we not only created efficient systems to allow the building to drive to net zero, but we created a system that we call an eco district that really is now part of the neighborhood to move and share and store energy, both thermal and electric, so that we could actually create a very different relationship with the grid. As a side note, but an important side note, Avista, the utility in the area, has been our deep partner. As a matter of fact, they own the land, they were part of this development, and we brought them in early, not just to tell us where the transformers would go, but to actually help design. Now imagine this, for your people that are listening, help us design the mechanical and electrical systems in a zero energy building with a shared energy system so that we could create what they deem the perfect feeder. Now, with that being said, when people think of a zero energy, zero carbon building, by the way, zero carbon being no combustible fuels and zero carbon also because it's a cross-laminated timber building, there's no embodied carbon, no embodied carbon. So, I mean, it's fully heading to zero energy and zero carbon. But here's the important point. Our industry, and I hate to keep picking on our industry, we're a bit laggard. And so what happens is when we're trying to build these special buildings that are in balance with the natural environment, the drive to net zero energy and net zero carbon, and I just described the shared energy system and all the stuff, you know, passive house envelope, chilled beams. And for those engineers like me that are hearing this, they're thinking, oh my God, what was spent on this building? This just must be just a ridiculous premium to get such a building to have been built. And I'm just here to tell you that we built, designed, and built that building at no cost premium compared to a building that would have been built to code spec. And I could go very long on that topic, but I will just tell you that we set off to not only build a zero energy, zero carbon building that did all the things I talked about with regard to the community, but we said to ourselves that for it to be an exemplar, for it to be something that could be repeated, we must do something and then evangelize, even if we're not involved, evangelize about how we did it and how we did it, not just cost effectively, but at no cost premium. And that to us is something that demonstrates that when we come together and we think differently and we organize differently, we can take on and build these buildings that are in balance with the natural environment. And that actually, in this case, not only are balanced with the natural environment, but actually balanced with the grid. So, sorry, I took a long time on that. I don't know if you can sense a little passion for me on this topic, but you know, my entire career, I think we've always chased uber efficient buildings collectively. I think we've always wanted some very special things to happen. I think in this case, we're able to do it. We're happy to talk to anybody about it in any detail, even if you never bring McKinstry into your project. We're happy to share everything. And by the way, including the competitors. We just think it's so important to openly talk about how we did this and how others might use some elements of what we did to embed in their projects. So we hope that when travel is back, people will come to see Catalyst and learn about it. And in the meanwhile, we're happy to set up webinars and have additional discussions. So sorry about taking so long there, but I just wanted to share that thought.
Yeah, Ash, I'd love to continue this conversation and perhaps share some of that secret sauce in the upcoming pages of Engineered Systems.
We'd love to do that.
Perfect. Let's shift gears here and talk a little bit about the vision statement that McKinstry has. One word that continues to come up in those vision statements is the word together. Can you share what that word means to you and the firm as a whole?
Well, you know, Dean Allen, our CEO, and I will always get this African proverb wrong, but you know, I want to state what I think. He has done such a wonderful job. I hate to say this because then he'll get all puffy chest about this, but he's really quite an extraordinary visionary and leader. And I want to say this, that when he started to introduce this idea of together we can go further. On your own, you can go faster, but together we can go further. I think that demonstrated this thing about McKinstry that is so interesting, that has been built over 60 years as a privately held company. You know, we started off as a small plumber, back in the mid 60s, and then we continue, or early 60s, and then we just continued to kind of grow and add different elements that ranged from heating, ventilation, air moving systems. We moved from plumbing to bigger pipe. We added fire protection. We added electrical. We added service. We have energy services. We do a variety of different facility operations and maintenance support. And the collection of all that and things that include low volt and tech contractor, the ability to think differently about low volt systems come together. What that means is that together, not that a client buys all of that together, but together, we can make a difference. And so that for us at McKinstry, this word together is as much about our people. It's about how we watch out for each other. It's about how we watch out for our clients. But it's also about how we can come together to make a difference, that we can actually go further together. That's what it means to us at McKinstry. That's what it means to me. The other couple of comments I would make is, just so you know, is that when we put together our thinking, particularly over the next 5 years, we think about the calls to action. You know, we are, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we are engineers, we're curious, we're scientists. We look at the data. So we firmly believe in the climate crisis. And we believe that the climate crisis is right at our doorsteps, as I mentioned before. We also believe that there's an affordability crisis going on in America. Now, granted, a gallon of milk is more and healthcare is more, but for us, the affordability crisis is really tied to particularly the built environment. The idea that why is an elementary school not significantly different, but yet cost twice as much to build as it did maybe 7 or 8 years ago in some areas. I mean, we're really running up against this idea that if we can't make the built environment more affordable, we can't actually create this balance that I mentioned earlier between the built and the natural environment, because then we just can't even invest anymore in the basics. So we got a climate crisis. We have an affordability crisis. And I think this year in particular, and we really have been thinking a lot about this in McKinstry well before this year, we see, we recognize, we understand that there is a racial equity crisis, that this equity crisis is amplified by the climate crisis and amplified by the affordability crisis. Those are our calls to action. So when we think about together, we not only want to think about together relative to the normal stuff that we do, but we want to think about together relative to being an exemplar for how we can take on the biggest, most challenging things that are facing Americans, that we know that if we can't do it, if we don't make an impact, then who will? So that I want you to know that together for us means both what we do together today, but also together how we face the challenges and the opportunities that we look out and see in the next 5, 10, 15, and 20 years.
Yeah, and we're all in this together when it comes to the year 2020 as well, which has been a challenging endeavor for most everybody. Can you share one specific example how McKinstry has turned a potential negative into a positive this year?
Well, boy, this has been a challenging year, hasn't it? I mean, it's just crazy. Well, you know, I do think that there's a couple of things that I suspect all companies are recognizing and seeing, which is that, I think that being able to, sorry about overusing the word together, but I think it's important. It's important to say that, you know, in the United States today, there are lots of opinions that are very polarized. And yet, I think when it comes right down to it, we all truly, truly care about each other. And we are willing to do things that are generally good for others as well as good for ourselves. And so I just wanted to start there. We're on a great planet, but we are in, you know, one of the best countries in the world. And I think that some of the things that have been going on have been nice examples of how we've been able to pull together around, for instance, you know, at McKinstry, we created very specific safety protocols to allow our tradespeople to work on essential and non-essential projects without risk of exposure to COVID. And I think that took a lot of hard work and that took a lot of very deep thinking. But in doing so, we set a very important standard around safety, around protecting each other. And that continued to kind of create the example that we've always wanted to create around safety. So that's one thing that I think has been enhanced. The second thing that I wanted to point out is that, you know, we created a program at McKinstry. We call it Return with Confidence. And that was really about helping our clients assess their built environment to understand what kinds of things they should be thinking about operationally, how they might want to operate their buildings as people start to come back, even in small numbers, help them assess and then help them create a plan. And that program that we created has been very, very helpful to many clients across the country who really weren't certain. And so therefore, again, together, we had to come together with schools and universities and even hospitals and say, well, geez, you know, what is it that we should be mindful of? What does the CDC say? We can't cure COVID. We can't create environments that fix COVID, but what can we do to allow people to have more confidence when they come into physical environment and back into the built environment? So that was a program that we created with some of our really talented and innovative folks that just got together and said, I think this is a problem that we can help solve for. And then, you know, we talked about Catalyst, and I just got to tell you that in the midst of chaos of 2020, you know, we continued to deliver a very important project that Eastern Washington University and others were counting on. And we delivered that project. I already mentioned it, so I won't mention it again, but I think that was a pretty significant achievement that that could have been very negative for Eastern and for others. And we were able to kind of work to get that project done. And then in the meanwhile, you know, we're continuing to go do good work with clients, designing and building brand new buildings for them and delivering large solar projects like we are with the city and county of Denver right now, that, you know, we're helping them deliver a rather large community solar program, which has been exciting, and continuing to do really good work to make buildings more energy efficient and help clients understand how to move their buildings to and their built environment to be, as I mentioned earlier, no carbon buildings over a reasonable time period. So I don't know, there is a certain amount of chaos, but the leadership team and the effort that we have has been really, really great around a lot of things we've been doing. So I hope that was helpful, but we're blessed. Maybe I should say it that way. In amongst all that is going on and all those that are suffering, we at McKinstry, I hope I'm speaking for all of our people when I say this. I really hope I'm representing them well, but we feel blessed, and that's allowing us to stay focused on the most pressing things that we can do to help make an impact.
Awesome. Ash, our audience here at Engineered Systems primarily consists of consulting and specifying engineers, as well as facility managers. Is there any parting words of advice you'd like to give them, whether it's pandemic related or not, as we wrap up this interview?
Yeah, well, thanks for the question. I mean, I would say this, when we're young, and particularly when we're very, very young, we're always curious. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, I've heard this term, it's not my term, but I've always appreciated that every young child is a scientist because they're curious, they're interested, they're always wondering about why is this way? What makes this thing happen this way? And so the first thing I would say is that, we need to, no matter what age we are, we need to continue to be and maybe even heighten our curiosity. We have got to embrace new ideas. We have got to be asking ourselves, what's possible? What have we not been thinking about, and what solutions should we be looking at today? Solutions that we might think, that never works, or that would never work. Let's open our minds up. And so that the first thing I would say is, let's be curious. The second piece I would say is that we all have a responsibility to make a really positive difference. I hope that we do that collectively outside of our work day. I hope that every day, we're doing everything we can to obviously take care of our loved ones and do what we can within the communities that we live and work, to help better other people's lives. But I would just say that it's also important to make sure that we make a positive difference in the firms that we're in, and that in doing so, I don't mean to preach anarchy, but I would think that it would be important at this point to make sure that the things that we would want to see different for generations ahead, that we would not shy away from talking about those positive differences that our organizations should be making. Even if our leadership may not be ready to make those leaps, I would hope that we find voice to push change, to push the difference that we need to collectively work on. And then the last piece that I think is so critical in our industry, and I feel like for me personally, this is probably top of my list right now. Although I'm a geek engineer and I spend a lot of time thinking about sustainability, I must tell you that I hope that those that are listening appreciate and understand the importance of the historic moment that we sit in the United States with regard to equity and social justice. Our industry needs to do better. We need to do better. We need to think differently about how we not only create diversity, but more importantly, how we include people in the ability to help provide their voice to the things that we're working on. This is an active bit of work that we each have to do as individuals, and clearly companies have to do, and our industry has to do. So for me, advancing equity and social justice across our industry is very, very, very important.
Ash, this has been an incredible conversation. Thank you so much for your time. If those that are tuning in are interested in connecting with you or McKinstry, where should they turn?
Well, McHistory.com, you know, we're on some different social media platforms, and my email address is asha@McHistory.com, and I would always be happy to, you know, catch up with anybody that has any questions.
Well, like I said, we definitely appreciate your time today. It's been insightful. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you soon.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you so much for including us in this.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ash Awad, and as he mentioned, if you're interested in connecting with McKinstry, visit www.mckinstry.com. That's McKinstry.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on iTunes. Be sure to bookmark us on your preferred mobile listening device so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.